That's right. Nothing will stop them crickets, it seems. Nothing. Even a week being blasted off the internet, which I'm glad to be back. Had nothing I could do with that problem, and then I didn't have any internet. Sitting here that Sunday, last week, waiting for the time to come around, and I was hoping beyond hope the internet would start up, and it just didn't, wouldn't connect. So the provider just didn't come through till Wednesday, and so I'm here today. And again, like I said, glad to be back. This will be BTWRLM354 for those of you live, for those of you pastcast, recast, postcast, blogcaster. So you can get and put that number in the search engine and get the notes, although I did that to try and find some information I did years ago because of the news that's coming on to us here this last week heavy and some other things. And I couldn't find, YouTube will not show me where this broadcast is. And that's why it's so important for those of you like Normalization of Ignorance and Sound Minds and UCY.TV that you post this broadcast. Because your posts came up before the ones on RLM. So, again, the potential censorship, I would say that it is. And part of what's going on. And that's okay. We're still flying under the radar, if you will. We're still there. We're just not prominent. And so that's a shame because a lot of people, I think, need to hear how they can themselves become prominent and not rely on all this other thing. But like I said, there's a big news. I wasn't going to really hit this, and my first knowledge came of this thing I'm going to talk about mostly today. Back in December, middle of December, and we might hear this health scare. Before I get onto that, and the reason why I want to look at that, and not because it's the scare or the health scare that we're hearing, because inside this condition there are the things you can see to analyze what's going on, analyze whether or not, well, to be, and then to be able to look through all this noise and fluff and clutter and confetti or snowstorm to start discerning what might be going on, because partly we need to either, we need to keep an eye on what's going on, if it's a danger to us, identify the threat, and if it's not, we need to then return our energy back to how, the things that we need to do. A threat to our health is an important deal. There's no joke about that. Another thing I want to say today, it wants to diminish this, but I want to point out a way to go at what we're seeing in the news about this issue and the threat to everybody now global. This is, I told you, hindsight 2020. They're coming back at us. This was back at us 10 years ago or 11 years ago. It's coming again. But this, before I move there, something I talked about a long time ago relative to the UK and London, England, all that stuff back there. The kind of flying under the radar a bit, I think, was that Queen Elizabeth approved the British government's Brexit bill. Now, the reason why I'm interested in that is only because I told you she was in on that. She wanted that to happen. I said, in international law, relative to the agreements I know, which may include the Constitution of the United States and some other things that you see about, there is a biting interest that you don't really know. It's a silent interest that continues. And for those of you that want to go read for that, not that it's there, but particularly, but that the provision is made. You look at Article 6, the United States Constitution, underneath Article, I think it is 6, look for the prior engagements entered into. Those engagements are critical. You need to go back and follow that track. That's another study. I don't touch that much. We don't ever get over there, and it's not important. Once I did the land law and grants, I realized I could actually break all that. So that's why some of this stuff doesn't become as relevant. It could if we needed to. But here, the Queen still has lots of holdings in the world. Those of you in the Crown colonies still, what was that, New Zealand, Australia, Kyrgyzstan, the UK itself and other places, if you don't think that there's this office above all that, here's the evidence of it. That's partly where I'm even talking about here. The Queen Elizabeth II formally approved on Thursday the law facilitating Britain's departure from the European Union at the end of this month. I told you before, they have to, the Queen's property has to be disgorged from that union. And so here it is. She's coming on to give her assent. And she did, and it came fast. There wasn't even a discussion on this. Once it was presented to her, the news was the assent was given. And that's important. These words are very important. Her Majesty the Queen has now granted royal assent, these are in capital letters, royal assent to the Brexit bill, also in capital letters, capital B, capital B, royal assent to the Brexit bill, which therefore becomes the Brexit Act. Brexit Secretary Steve Barclay tweeted, enshrined in law, this enables the UK to leave the EU on the 31st of January. So there is, the Queen is not some figurehead. The Queen is an integral part in law. And so you have to, I mean, it maybe doesn't matter to anybody, but it's important to keep track of these things as you're applying what you hear. And so I'll leave that right there. I figured it had to go. It's going to go. She's assent. The assent has been given. It's done. This is law. And they have now extricated any, made any question of any inclusion of the Queen's properties. It's now eliminated. That's been done. And I think that's the only interest that she had. And it was necessary. And it was necessary on multiple levels for those of you that read organic documents and really pour through deeply through what they're talking about. And for those of you that are interested, you go through those engagements entered into in the United States Constitution, look at every compact that was done before that and after the Revolutionary War, and then you want to jump over to UK and you want to see, well, you got to kind of do this, a full study. You got to do the interaction between the UK and other nations and also with the Vatican. And so we don't have to, again, for what I do normally and how to break away and how to not become servient to these things, I found the answer in grants and through grant law. And when you find out the power of those, you'll find out why a letter patent, which is also named in a United States Constitution, is so powerful. And that, in the case of disposed land, it divests the authority, what was the sovereign authority, and puts it in you and in the land to have and hold against everyone else, and that includes that grantor. And so if you see, when you understand that basic principle, it's able to, you can cut through really quickly in analyzing a lot of things. More importantly, you look right for those, what I call, I've told you before, are savings clauses. In this case, the Queen has a savings clause that was going to be destroyed that they had to get the property back out. And so anyway, here it is. That's the news for those of you that are waiting with bated breath all these years for Brexit to happen. It's happening. The royal assent has been given by the owner of the place. Moving over to another notorious international crime gangs, internet routers, for those of you that are interested in PSA, internet routers running Tomato are under attack by notorious crime gang. This was kind of private to me because it gave me an answer potentially why our Jefferson Mining District website got hacked last year, beginning of the year. Couldn't figure out how. In this regard, I have nothing to do to protect myself against, but it at least gave me an answer as to what happened to us it's in the back end on the server side. And so this is important for you to understand that there's an internet botnet that's created, and they start installing stuff on your websites and through your servers and wherever you are, if you're running Tomato, apparently it's not the firmware itself, but there's a way that the programs tie into it, that the settings are also not done so well on the passwords or something that allow an incursion by a literal crime gang working through the internet to do whatever it does. I don't even follow all that. I just know that this is why I don't get involved. I'm not investing any time and energy in things of the digital realm. Well, I was telling you before, Windows 7 going down, my system, I still validly think that it can go down with the failure to update the software. In fact, I told you I was going to back up my system, and it may take a while. I almost didn't get my system backed up. The Windows 7 backup didn't even work. I had to resort to an old program to be able to get my files just hours before we lost that power. And so I was, you know, everything, being diligent was helpful there, and focusing on a task at hand and getting things done, not knowing the power was going to go out, not knowing I was going to lose the internet and all. I was able to get those files, but it wasn't through the Windows 7 system. Windows 7 is just, to me, is just junk. If I didn't need to have some programs run on it, I probably would have completely switched over to the Linux, which has its own little things going on, and I'm not familiar with it. But again, for those of you looking for alternatives, in fact, this Tomato runs on Linux in the servers. So this tells you that your digital world is vulnerable. And I keep talking to you about that because they want to push this thing into there. And eventually, when I get past the main story today, probably almost the entirety of this broadcast, I'm going to expose to you how those are integrated. They're integrating. This whole thing has been integrating, as I've been telling you for a decade, broadcasting, over a little bit over now. But anyway, so those of you running a Tomato software, you got the main problem is your passwords. So don't run the defaults. Go in and look at what you, I think you also got to turn off remote sense, remote access. I've done that to all my systems. Just I don't even know it's default on. I think turn it off. Go in and turn it off. And so we keep moving with the organized crime everywhere, digital or in royalty. They're protecting their property. They're coming to steal yours. We now move on to something that has this same sense to it. That's now hit the world again. Again, hindsight's 2020. We're deja vu here relative to something. And I'm going to give up front. I'm going to give credit to John Rappaport's posting on Twitter on his articles all of a sudden coming out. He was quiet for a while. And then my utility of Cryptogon.com, because of the links they provide, allow me today, I hope I pull this together right, allow me to give you a more comprehensive review of something that's hitting the world right now, this thing called the SARS coronavirus out of China. There are so many levels to this. It's fascinating in one regard. But my view was to take this and analyze it for, look for your real threats, look for where the threat may become, look for the threats you may not know are there, are the things that are going on that are secret to us, silent to us, even though we're watching. And I can tell you by going through, and in particular, John Rappaport's statements, he exposes, if you listen to me and you go read what he says, he exposes through his observations just in this field, this one field, exactly what I've told you the method of destruction is and how people get you to buy into something, the public buy-in, on any subject matter, and use it also to cover the real harm. Climate change. They've conflated climate change for pollution. Instead of going after solving the pollution problem, they create this boogeyman, and then they come after you punitively. Dollars from you through various mechanisms, like taxation, or the inability to write off credits that are going to big business, big industry. And so there's a transfer of wealth all the time here on all of this. So that's another level, even though it doesn't sound like this coronavirus is that. There's all these levels working. There's international attacks going on, economic attacks going on through this. As a potential impossibility. It's all for us to watch. And then the underlying problem for us is looking for that viral needle in a haystack. Does the drill go live? Does the simulation go live? And then you become under actual threat. So my view is I wanted to come today with everything else to talk about and talk about this, even though it's not my field of specialty, except the underlying analysis becomes very similar in gathering things together. And I kind of did an analysis like that. Whereas uncomfortable, I feel to do that. I feel comfortable enough to do it to tell you how you can start pulling this together. And I know I'm just saying, oh, you get to read the news. I'm suggesting this is used to sharpen your weapon, your tool, empower the tool of discernment, and then application, where you focus the energy, given that you will. And I'm always going to ask for that because I don't see any way around this. And I won't be talking too much like I did about the Virginia thing. It's not over there. They did go through a rally. There's some things that I guess can be happening. But as I've been told you, I think as a society, we're two steps behind. And if we can't find our help within the context of, in a peaceful sense, in the context of what's already there, if we don't know how to do that, that's our failure. That's why we can't move any further forward. And we're going to have to patch that really, really quickly. To patch that, you're going to have to be aware, not awoke and not taking the pills. Get off the pills, folks. Get off the pills. Get back into your holistic naturalness and look at this stuff and don't be persuaded, not even by myself. I'll stop there. Communicating with people, this is becoming important. I'll tell you right here because I have no problem with it. I'm not here to have you trust me. I'm here to make you aware of things that are available to you. It's up to you to go prove those out. And then there's a leeway because the path you take isn't going to be the path I took, even though we're taking the same path. You will walk a different, as narrow as the path is, you will take. It's still wide enough for both of us to have traveled and seen different points. I could have been looking right at the time at the point you were looking left in that same point of the path, and I could have missed something. So not only are you looking to test me, you're also looking for things I may have missed, and I've told you all this before. So without getting all into that, let's move on now. This is a pretty interesting thing. I noticed this problem. It just came up as a news article. I could not find that news article about right before Christmas. So this issue, and we're going out to the coronavirus out of China. I don't want to keep saying it's Japan. Maybe that's next. It's China. Wuhan, China. And that's a very important industrial center. Very important. So I don't hear many people talking about this. But at any rate, that's this is important to start looking. What is going on? What is the threat with a coronavirus that they say is SARS? What is that? A severe, acute respiratory syndrome, SARS. It has a meaning. It's really a response to some agent. And the problem is, if you look, listen very carefully, they make it sound that they've proven the agent, and yet there actually is no proof, if I can go in science. They may give you science responses, but they're like this BS we keep hearing about consensus. We keep hearing like DNA, but they don't really prove it out in anybody in the amount in the body that would cause the problem. They just say they found some marker. So if I'm looking for women with red fingernail polish on, that's kind of what's going on here. We found a woman with red fingernail polish on. That's the one out of the whole population. So, and that's another question, the whole entire population. Lots to go through here, but I couldn't find my originating article that piqued my knowledge that it was coming. This thing that was then officially declared on the 31st by the WHO, not the rock group, not the OWL, but the WHO, the World Health Organization, so called. And you know, this is hearkening deja vu back to the pig's fly flu. This is really the same thing. Now, the problem I want to say here is, again, because of Title 50 of the United States Code, we don't know when that needle of the haystack comes to stick us. We see governments are willing to kill people. They're not bashful of taking any tool to do so. We see in the United States, and I've been talking about this for years and years, the experiments that were done relative to viral vectors, and the one I keep telling you about was in 1953. There was a binary weapon. They inoculated people in the Bay Area. They had a very special, powerful Class B transmitter, television transmitter on the hill over there. And they inoculated the population, and about 2 or so weeks later, they turned on that transmitter, and I think it was also that they broadcast a particular frequency through that Class B transmitter, and they activated that virus in people. And so we've been told the United States government will experiment against its own people. Title 50 tells you they will. It outlaws all this stuff, but then it says except for the government to do it or one of its agents. That's why this is important to me. For y'all, we have to wait. The needle in the haystack. What's the needle? The needle is the actuation of something, even by accident. In the haystack, we hear is the pig's fly flu, is the fraud, is what people would say is the hoax. Okay, so this becomes, to my mind, very important to be able to go through and identify if we can, the potentials, the possibilities, hierarchical, the categories of potential for a particular type of subject matter. Let's say whether it's military, economic, medical, whatever, however we go through this. So I did find an emergency CDC Gov alert archive that does mention the earliest time, which was actually a little before I was aware of it, but around before Christmas, I picked up a story somewhere, and someone would have to watch that. Is that going to be the pig's fly flu? It turns out by the 31st that it is, but this thing starts. They got the first reports 2 weeks after the initiation, which was actually in December. This becomes important here because December, listen, I'll just get it before I go through this. December is really understood to be the official start and peak, and then of the flu season and peaking at this same month. Understand that, because we're in that time, everywhere. And so we're also in the northern hemisphere of China. It's all happening for us in the winter now. So they do. I did find an archive for you. I got tons of links. I hope I can get to all of them. I'm just going to barely touch them. You'll get them. You want to do an analysis of this. You want to keep yourself sane. You want to just understand the dynamic and then for you make a decision to either get involved or put it away or do whatever you're going to do with it. But take it also to analyze a condition that's being, I consider, foisted upon us with the real potential threat of the being stuck by the needle in the haystack of confusion. So the archive says it was issued, written, I think, in January 8th, that this thing starts around December the 2nd. We get our first inkling. I remember it. I couldn't find right before Christmas. By the 31st, the WHO is now involved. Now that got me into pigs fly flu. When the WHO was not singing music or hooting for at night, I realized we may have a problem, Houston. And so one of the potential starts out, I'm not going to reject the reality, a reality that's happening. I'm going to go ahead and add this right off the bat. The Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, another problem, as we know, is closely, they're the, you know, these are the hubs of destruction. The Center for Destruction and whatever. Closely monitoring a reported cluster of pneumonia of unknown ideology with the possible epidemiologic links to a large wholesale fish and live animal market in Wuhan City in Hubei Province, China. That was what I remember, being told a quick little quip that there was a cluster of pneumonia of unknown origin, but they did attach that it was possibly a SARS. And so that's what got me to say, okay, let's wait for that. Let's see what's coming up. And you can get this link. Oh, I can't dwell too much. Everyone believes this thing just started. This thing started right at the start of a flu season as well. And so then we get the AP. I got, again, more stuff here, just tons and tons of stuff. The AP article comes out to then raise the level of the problem, that China now confirms the first death outside of the epicenter of the viral outbreak. So this was supposedly started at a meat market. That's important because you need to go look at these meat markets. And I've got a link for a video of people who used to live there for quite some time who now are living in the States. And they will explain to you, if you're willing to listen to them, how medieval the market system, the meat market system is, relative, if you will, to hygiene and sanitation. Remember that. I keep telling you one of the big cures, if you will, the treatments, is this hygiene and sanitation to you. And that's a little tougher than it sounds in some regard. And even though we don't have such so-called medieval wet markets. And so this is happening in the middle of a wet market. Now, I say that because this is what John Rappaport brings up as the thing I tell you. He says these are running covers. I say alternatives. They run an alternative by you to buy in order to get an agenda forward. And John Rappaport has identified this perfectly, and why I'm relying a bit on his perspective for this broadcast to kind of move us along as well, to give us all the comprehensive perspective. So China confirms the first death. Okay, then they say there was more than 18 million in unprecedented effort to contain a deadly new virus that has sickened hundreds of people and spread to other parts of the world. We're so far past that now, but this is the inclination that maybe something's going to start to go serious. A world scheme of things, one death on a virus taking it at face value is not such a big deal, but we know when they put all these labels on it, it could be serious. Then, again, Cryptogon, Wuhan coronavirus, are people collapsing in public? And he's got a link, you can go there, and you can find the videos, people standing in a place and they collapse, or you find them in a hospital, collapse. Well, this is the other thing. Okay, finding people to collapse is, I guess you could do that. I guess it could be the coronavirus, and this becomes the question. Seeing someone fall in the street or being picked up out of the street or whatever is not a cause. It's just a thing. And there's not, unless you're there and have all the equipment, you could buy into the fact that it was caused by the coronavirus, or you can remain a little bit arm's length and to say, okay, well, people are falling, but what's the real reason? And before I lose it, remember, China is a pretty repressive government, and there's things going on over there that you may or may not hear, that the government again can use this to cover up other ills. But that's not where I'm going here. I just want to remind myself about that. If I hope I can get to that in my thoughts. Again, I've got to run through my thoughts on how I present this here, just as I see the tabs, and it's just so much to go through. That China's then this story comes out. China's top virus lab in Wuhan is the center of the outbreak. So we have this connection to a lab, and it's the highest level. Weapons level lab, and so that's the inference that you're told. We can buy into that. I will get into the fact, okay, we have an epicenter, if you will. There's the source, but it didn't really come from the lab, did it? It didn't even come from the neighborhood. It actually came some distance away across the river at a meat market, which is known to be, they're just notoriously known to be filthy. And this is the thing that you, what other causes can we have here? Seeing people falling in the street? I don't know. I've seen a couple people in my life have flu, and this is long before SARS, who would pass out based on the flu they had. You know, working hard, all of a sudden they just pass out. And so that's not unusual to me either, but it's what is being presented in the news, and it's another point, data point, to we pick up. What could it be? I found myself looking for other signs, not just the flu symptoms. I'm looking for something, if you're looking for weaponization, is it causing more than just flu symptoms? Because the stuff I've read of weaponized technology, you're toast. I mean, you're liquefied in just hours, if not days, hours. You're bleeding at every orifice. You're just not there. I mean, it's just done. You don't even have time to understand it. And so I'm looking for other things more than the flu symptoms. And so we hear that this Chinese top virus lab is in Wuhan as well. So they're making media is pressing a condition. And I'll put that as a possibility. It could have issued from there. It could be a test. Who knows? I'm still riding on the sanitary problem at the meat market. But this thing is spreading. And so we have some reality. Now, how much it's spreading is also a question. But then we come up and we see that Wuhan coronavirus, but China shuts down Disneyland in 14 cities. And now this starts to turn it a little bit more into what we've got to be concerned about. This, to me, started to look like the simulation we were told, and I got some links for those. This has all been in the news, all this stuff. Residents of Chinese city in the center of country's coronavirus crisis fear they are trapped and will all be infected because of the government lockdown, which has stopped anyone from leaving. That turns out to be not the truth either. But here it is that the Chinese government shuts down 14 cities. Understand this now. The government came in and, let's just go on the report here, they kept you from traveling. You are locked down to your cities. These are not just country hamlets. This is 23 or so million people. I got to get these numbers down because this is important on looking as we go. How virulent this thing is, how it's spreading, what inside the context of the season and all that. 'Tis the season. The government has locked down these cities. 23 million people have lost their right to move about the country. And I've told you that China now on the global scale is the pioneer police state, if you will. It's the test center because its populations are big enough to act as laboratories. You're guinea pigs here, folks, and this is where we might be going. John Rappaport pulls this out, too, in his last, I think, one of his last articles. Now, this is not only do we have all these other categories of subject matter, potential possibilities, reasons, this is just you as a guinea pig. More importantly, this is where people will say martial law. Now, I got to say something here. It's not M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. It's M-A-R-T-I-A-L. Okay, so let's get. I see lots of people misspelling it, which is just tells me you're just copying stuff down. You don't think, you don't look, you don't correlate, and we got to stop doing that too to ourselves. But anyway, so Wuhan, we hear that Disneyland, that's a commerce center, that's a big deal. That's a commerce evidence of attack that may not be internal, but also shows that China's willing to shut down their cities. And in a way, you can justify that if it's rampant. And this is not to say it's not. This is to say you are going to be stuck immediately wherever you are if one of these things hits anywhere else. Then the story gets reminded to us in the news sequence of roughly, and this is rough sequence. I don't know that I put these actually in any real order, but it was recalled to us. And if you remember, I did these the 2009 broadcast on the pigs fly flu. I came out, didn't agree with that right out of the gate. You remember it was early in 2009. And I, it's like this will be a actual virus when pigs fly. And it wasn't a flu sickness, so that was F-L-E-W. It flew out the window. When, the pigs fly flu. This is way back in 2009. This was looking exactly, well, after that, we now remember that we were told in 2015, the lab-made coronavirus triggers debate. Now, I was telling you at the time of the pigs fly flu, that was a novel. They were telling us it was novel. I said, that was engineered. That's patented. That's a product. You'll hear all these are novel. And you'll find the United States is involved, and where the United States says novel, it means patent. Now, the problem is lots of people are sending patents around the internet. You can't prove necessarily that those are the ones we're talking about. All I can tell you is that when they said novel, they're meaning a different word relative to WHO authority, or with the claimed authority. What the United States does with that is it means patent. And so I told you right off the bat, these are invented. We found out later, with all these numbers, H1N1, H1N2, this, that, and the other, they were being constructed. They were being made. Remember that lab and the technician, that Chinese technician that was caught at the airport with some of this? Or Taiwanese. Excuse me if I get the countries wrong. Just a memory moving through. We're reminded that the lab-made coronavirus was triggering a debate back in 2015. Okay? I just want to go to the titles. There's just so much to talk about. There's so much I'm going to miss here to explain details of interrelating, leafing concepts here that point to all kinds of interesting things that constructs a couple of different scenarios. And so at some point here, we'll have to get to the point, what do we do with all this stuff? And where do we place it for each one of us? And each one of us will have a new, our own, if you will, threat assessment. And I would say don't disregard these things. Here's why. It doesn't have to come from China. You could have something local. It is tis the season. I guess maybe that's maybe another title. Not how to make guinea pigs fly, but tis the season. And so this is the utilizing something in nature. This is almost like vaccines took credit for what nature was doing in people. Relative to body, human body, people's body, men, the bodies of mankind, the beings of mankind, the natural immune system fighting off the nature of the attack from all these things, as the bodies of people became more immune themselves, or their immune defenses were built. The vaccines came in, and the vaccine companies took credit for that. And this is, I see this another level of that. So. The lab-made coronavirus. Oh, it was lab-made. What did I say? Novel, right? This is all starts tying together. There was a debate. Well, we have debates on all kinds of stuff. I mean, we have debates on China. It doesn't seem like much of a debate, but there's a debate on why someone would actually do gene editing to the baby girls. That's at play here, too. They may have punished the guy, but that's probably because they did it without permission. Doesn't mean permission won't be given. It wasn't asked. And that's a country that you don't mess around with. And so then I also had this report here, computer-designed organisms. Fascinating technology. Oh, this technology just always fascinates you. It's always kind of, it's really cool. But when you see these lunatics, these psychopaths, these sociopaths that are in control of this stuff, it's just, in a way, terrifying that we now see that they're actually taking cells and they can construct live cells to form themselves into shapes. That the shapes and the forms construct, they're directed under AI manipulation to do functions. They're not a virus, but they're building blocks of things that are cellular at their size. That's constructed by AI. That is another, it was more like a transport system or a device actually to dismantle things. I think that they're touting this as ability to eventually create cells that come together. And the fascination is how did the cell know to do this? Because it's not known to be intelligent. But they'll construct themselves together when they find each other. And they can be programmed by the way they're done to build in certain ways. that this looked like another delivery system to me. This looked like a way to build machines on a cellular, biological level that if they could match your DNA, your body won't see as an immune system, but it's a deconstruction device. It goes through and it starts deconstructing things in your body. That just turned up as an aside. I don't want to focus on that. Just these things that come along together. Back to the coronavirus. Back to the stories that are going on. We have now, it's escalating. Millions of people are being locked down. We have essentially health-related martial law. And I told you that's the worst one we will ever face and the one they want because there's really no answer around it. And they will just do quarantines. And so they went right there, didn't they? It's only been 10 years. They went right there, just what I told you. Not a surprise. But they're testing this now. See, they're doing it in a country that they can. The government has absolutely got a society that can lock it down when they need to. They did. They locked it down. It's not so impervious. People are leaving. In fact, they're promoting this thing. You'll see the video in one of the links that the people that are reporting there, who used to be in the one of which are medical business, are getting news back through their feeds that people are bragging that they're escaping and they're in new towns and all this other stuff. And so there's people, this is like nuts, people just with fever conditions leaving and bragging that they're now in another town. So there's no absolutes here about the lockdown, but for the most part, people are locked down. 23 million people more, it's actually going to get more, are being locked down and shown that they can be locked down underneath a threat that I hope we'll find out, it may be there, but it isn't proven actually as to cause. And I've always told you, like climate change, if they get that wrong, they do the wrong thing, then the actual cause continues and it kills people. And this is the problem. This is the problem with alternatives. This is the problem with the covert actions and someone's brainiac idea on how they're going to take out someone else. And then who's in the middle? All the people. The fodder. And this is another underlying problem. But so we finally get a doctor who dies. And in the video that I link, I have the people, the young guys that are talking about this. They said that the doctors are terrified because they really don't have the tools. They don't have the right masks. They're not anything in any numbers at all to be there, and they're ordered to go care for people. So that's terrifying in itself. Even if this wasn't an aggressive type of a condition, well, wasn't even 2 days later we have the first report: the doctor has died of the coronavirus. Liang Wundong, a senior doctor of the hospital in Wuhan, died on January 25th after failing treatment for the new pneumonia at the age of 62. This is the very first case of death concerning a doctor since the outbreak. Now consider that. The doctors start dying. And so what do the government does? The government starts to bring in reinforcements. And interesting how they did it. Like they can't pull from a different group of people. But we have the first fatality in the doctor. When the doctors are dying, for whatever reason, again, I don't ascribe a cause. It could be the coronavirus. They're promoting that here. Then what are you going to do for care? And so this is the game, if you will. I think part of this is that simulation. I'll get to those links as well. We've been told all this. That the upbringing that came up in the meantime of all this, another idea, and it came from through Zero Hedge of the title, the Real Umbrella Group. Wuhan Ultra Biohazard Lab was studying, quote, world's most dangerous pathogens. And so there's a whole thing about this lab that turns up. I didn't even know what the Umbrella Group Corporation was. I found out it's some kind of a program or something. I don't really understand it. Where this this corporation is in, literally, I think their motto was that they're in charge of life or something like that, at any rate. So this is coming right out of media, if you will, the propaganda that's been told to us. That this story starts out just to give continuity from the story. Is now that not one but seven Chinese cities, including Wuhan, are ground zero of a coronavirus epidemic, collectively housing some 23 million people are under quarantine. The comparison to the infamous Raccoon City from the Resident Evil are coming in hot and heavy. And since reality often tends to imitate, if not art, then certainly Hollywood. Earlier today, we jokingly asked if the Medical Research Institute of Wuhan University would end up being China's first umbrella corporation. Well, they go through to show you that it could very well be. This becomes interesting as the news comes the next couple days. And then we also hear what, based in this little interesting thing that came days before, that once, before the doctor died, that China had actually deployed military medics to Wuhan hospitals. Now, they were all promoting how fast they've been operating this, but I'm telling, that's why I put the archive up first. They knew that something was going on as early as December 2nd, I think, of last year. And so there's a criticism that they didn't, the government hasn't been working very quickly at all, notwithstanding what we may be told. And this is another factor that we weigh into this. But they bring military medics in. I was wondering why they just didn't bring more medics in generally. Why the military? Well, okay, so this is a military aspect. This is a threat. The government of China thinks this is a, this to me would be a military attack. They are going to have military officers in the spots in order to watch this or, you know, try to contain it. But also because there may be a bigger thing going on relative to the, to China itself. Because attacking this city, it's an internet, it's an industrial hub. It's just not, like I said, it's not just some hamlet out in the middle of nowhere. You're stopping major commerce, major industry going on. This is could be a major military attack through economic interference by way of this virus claim. Then we have this story, the Chinese researcher escorted from a Canadian infectious disease lab amid RCMP investigation. So Kanuka stands back in on it, and that got to me thinking, we have a Chinese researcher escorted from a infectious disease lab in Canada. What was that story? Well, that's the transfer, apparently, of some, they said a policy breach, Chinese researchers transferring viruses to this one Wuhan lab. That started to make sense why the military started to become involved. So we have this other dimension developing right along with all these other possibilities. And you'd think that, well, it's part of that whole process. It's a global facility, a chain of facilities. What would be the problem? Well, my thought was, well, if the Canadian research was actually doing biowarfare itself, it wouldn't be a problem. And so now, Kanukistan, the United States, all these Western countries may be fingered for the problem, and or they allowed the transfer. And they've got to make it, they've now got to cover something up so that they're not blamed for being inactive. As a thought. We get this story, biowarfare experts question why Canada was sending lethal viruses to China. Well, in one regard, when you look at the WHO, we're back to them, and you look at the network they've set up, it's almost not surprising. But we're talking about biowarfare here. That's not supposed to be on the table. So it's a proper question to ask, why was Canada allowing the sending? Why wasn't there these protocols? Did it escape without anybody knowing? Or is the cover-up to hold somebody accountable to cover the complicity of the Western government? We still have to get it from that lab into the marketplace because they still haven't claimed it came from anywhere else. But we also don't have the causation. We also don't even know the marketplace itself isn't the contagion. And they know it is. I mean, this is the other problem. They know it is. Whether it's specific to this or they're just blaming it, we don't know. But that it's a medieval marketplace with actually no sanitation, no hygiene, literally, and it's a culturally acceptable on top of it. So in a tabletop pandemic exercise at Johns Hopkins University last year, a pathogen based in the emerging Nipah virus was released by fictional extremists, killing 150 million people. So now the trauma of hearing the numbers comes out so that they can now hide whatever the numbers are that are going to be made up or expounded on to accelerate the problem in your mind to how many people could be affected. A less apocalyptic scenario mapped out by the Blue Ribbon U.S. panel envisioned Nipah being dispersed by terrorists and claiming over 6,000 American lives. Scientists from Canada's Canadians, those of you folks who are living right up in there, Kanukistanians, watch out. Canada's National Microbiology Laboratory have also said the highly lethal bug is a potential bioweapon. But this was the what? This was a simulation. It was an exercise. But they telegraphed things. Why would they be doing it unless they were that was capable of happening? Why would they're analyzing in a way, looking what would happen? They didn't do a coronavirus. They did a henna pavirus. The point is, they're doing, they're giving you the ground rules that they're doing this stuff. These are not working for stopping flu in the world. And so the question is, what is this wild weapon connection? These places are not supposed to be doing this, but they're making models for it. And then a criticism came out by somebody, irresponsible reporting. Western media unfairly slams China's swift response to coronavirus. This came out after that it was hitting the news for us. And the criticism was that China wasn't moving fast enough and having problems. And they were coming out to say, we're doing it as fast as we can. In fact, look, we're going to make a whole hospital in 6 days. And they show you the pictures of all the excavators making the groundwork. In fact, they actually came out and said they're going to try and build that thing in 16 hours. Quite the feat, nonetheless. But why didn't they start that back in before Christmas was my question. Kind of limits this complaint relative to people unfairly criticizing China's response. This was foretold in 2015. This was known over the years as being built up through the WHO. They have done exercises on all this. And yet China waits for a month. Takes this criticism down. I gave it a bit of credit until I started looking around more. And said, this nation should have been on this at least by Christmas when I heard about it. Look how far away I am and I heard about it. They should have been all over this, given the initial reports were this respiratory problem that looked just like the SARS before. And so irresponsible reporting because they're not working fast enough. Well, how fast is it they have to work? That got me to thinking about the infection rate. I didn't know when I was looking at all this, what's the foundation for what we're dealing with? What's an infection rate? How do I balance what a response would be? And so we go down to the United States. We'll find that from us because that's where I live. That's what I'm going to be working with when it comes down to my town, if it ever gets here. What's the typical rate? And I'm just going to then extrapolate that it's probably pretty much the same around the globe, given the same population densities. And we, reading right out of Philadelphia, CBS Local, U.S. experience highest flu infection rate at this point of season in decade, CDC says. This was done this last year. This is December of 2019. They knew that we had the highest infection rate in the United States already. Remember, the CDC is tied in through the international WHO and all these bioweapons laboratories that are just supposed to be influenza laboratories, studying how the disease transmits itself so we can stop it, as simply as they're supposed to be. But we find out that by all these exercises, that may not be the case. So the United States is already experiencing the highest infection rate it has in a decade. This last year, this flu season, to start with. Put that in your data point. The flu continues to spread. Federal health officials said that it's not a good way to start the season. This is back in December this last year. Just the end of this last, that's a month ago. The flu usually peaks in January. Data point. It's peaking in January. Last year was one of the worst flu seasons in Pennsylvania. There were more than 14,000 confirmed cases per week. This is in Pennsylvania, folks. This is not in a place of 23 million people, unless I got the population of Pennsylvania all messed up. Maybe I do. 14,000 cases a week of the flu symptoms happened last year, this time, or the year before, this time in Pennsylvania particularly. Health officials say nowhere near that now that the cases are increasing significantly. Pennsylvania has 1,633 lab-confirmed cases of flu, a fraction of the number of people who've been sick with influenza. Now, you go to John Rappaport, he'll explain what these lab-confirmed cases of flu may not be the causation for the symptoms, just that they found the lady with the red finger. Well, he doesn't say it this way. This is my analogy. Because they found a lady with the red fingernails. Nothing against red fingernail polish or the ladies. Okay, I don't know what else. What other example to pick? Something that not everybody does, that if you're looking for it to, as just to spy it on the street, you could say that was one, is what John will explain to you. And he's been doing this for decades, this analysis. That's why I kind of defer to a lot of what I'm saying to any deeper study. Go through what his study was, what he's been writing for decades. That just because you see a marker doesn't mean it's the cause. Again, we don't know. But they have 1,600 cases last year. Nationwide highest flu activity is in the 7 southern states. Okay, stop with the numbers. The point is, this is the beginning of it. We're right in the middle of the peak, right now. Anywhere in the northern hemisphere of the world. And this year was not very good. In fact, they say Australia, whose flu season, they have a summer flu season, is also increased. Now, if we go to the WHO, we have 2 regions of the world that are experiencing increased flu responses this year. Put that in as a baseline. I would have to extend the possibility this increased flu year is global to start with. So then, okay, so we have an increase. I found a first story. Okay, we got a worse year this year, although I'm not really familiar with all that. Maybe, and luckily, I don't like getting sick. You know, it's not something to be sick. Try to have your health. Wash your hands, folks. Don't touch your face. I mean, all this interesting stuff that we tend not to pay attention to is so simple. And I guess I'll throw it in now. You should be getting a mask. I have a couple of techniques. When I go out, I'll spray my nose and inhale in my nose and lungs the 3% peroxide. I try to make an environment that any organism I might have attached to a mucous membrane, okay, not my, I don't spray my eyes, but attached to the mucous membrane, may not find favor there. For your eyes, wear glasses. If you don't want to be on a lower risk, if you don't want to look like some hazmat technician, take some precautions to keep the vector, the droplet, from you. And so an N95 mask gives 95% protection. It has a 5%, so consider that as well. And those are being hard to find more and more, so you may have to go find locally to you. So, okay, because that's a start of how you start to protect. It's hygiene, and don't let it on you. And then you find out that the value of its transmissibility, this thing, is really not that high, and I'm not to diminish it because it is transferred. It is transferable. It has that much power that it can do that. It's 12 times less than measles, though. But anyway, let's get to this. We have the seasonal rate now is higher than it has been in decades this year. It looks like it might be global because it's over happening the same way down in Australia. And then we look at, okay, seasonal incidence of symptomatic influenza in the United States was the title of a document. And so we say, okay, what in a population generally, what's the rate? What are we looking at? How many people typically get flu? And they have a number. They used to say it was, I think, 8 to 20%, but that included asymptomatic people. What they're now reporting is those only with symptoms, and that's fair because that's what we're dealing with in the news, those that have symptoms, the flu symptoms. And this is the other problem. It's only flu symptoms. This could be, any cause that causes an immune response that the body responds in this way. But their number here to look at in any flu season typically runs approximately 8%, but it varies from 3% to 11%. We got that? Let's use 10% as a high end. We say high end because apparently in the United States and Australia, it's worse than it's been in 10 years this flu season. And let's start thinking toward the idea of applying it to the numbers that we see coming out of Wuhan to determine whether this peak season is something that we would raise the alarm bells. And this is what I want to get back now. We got that idea holding, okay, that'll be our baseline. How do we quantify what's going on to keep ourselves from going running with the sensationalism? Why? Because health experts issued an ominous warning about a coronavirus pandemic 3 months ago. Their simulation showed it could kill 65 million people. Now, again, I've talked about this. I'm just going to bring this out, another link. This was known that they had thought this might happen. Well, to me, that's a plan. I don't know about you. To me, this was a plan. I remember reading this, and that's why I started to look this askance a bit when I heard about it right before Christmas, and then they came out with it in December 31st. And then it's so-called turned into this thing. China knew about this. This is the same system that they're using. These labs are all through this same system that they run these simulations. Worldbank.org. If you don't listen behind the woodshed, you need to. If you have been, you know I talk about this all the time, how integrated this whole thing is. The World Bank. Remember, now we're going to get into the Fed, all this monetary control. Remember, A2030 is a sustainable debt. Your countries are under sustainable debt of a threat due to this kind of a story. Now remember, whatever happens, like again in Wuhan and the industry and what it takes out, it can do to any country, any city in any country. Pandemic simulations preparing for the catastrophe we hope will never happen. I'm going to say that's got to be a lie, because we're seeing the simulation. I think this may be the simulation running out another one. They're testing new things. And there's a cover going on about that. That said, it looks like this could also be an economic attack against the country. That could be another level of the gameplay. Then we have, if that's the case, we do have that needle we have to keep watch out for. But pandemic simulations is talked about by the World Bank of other places to say. And who do they mention? The WHO. The same players. Okay, it's over and over you read this. At the highest levels of control, in places of control of countries and the banks, is involved in working models, simulations. This is a part of another thing I think may be going on. Do not take my observations as your truth. Go find it out for yourself. As I said, my concern is inside of a simulation, the drill goes live. That's one of my concerns. Not that I'm really seriously considering at this point, but do not limit the possibility and don't lower your guard on this. This will kill you if you're susceptible to it. And something else could anyway, even if it's not a coronavirus. So now we have in Wuhan this containment, martial law, health law, martial law due to health, destruction of economy. We have, we don't know where the real vector is. We have promotion, official promotion that it's a certain coronavirus without actual proof. And this pandemic simulation brought up the term pandemic. I want to remind you what I talked about if you were here listening back when I talked about the pig's fly flu. That the WHO had a special definition for what a pandemic was. It's not a normal one. And so when they are running pandemic, World Bank was running pandemic simulations, and they mentioned the WHO, we have to now change our verbology a little bit to understand what exactly they're talking about. And then this story came out and made importance because this was relevant to that definition. And I went back to try and find the original definition I think I told you about. And either I've misinterpreted what I told you as far as how they described it. I thought it was DNA to DNA transfer. It may be considered human to human now, but I couldn't find that link source. So I found a secondary source that speaks very closely to what happens when the WHO is involved relative to a, quote, pandemic and what they're looking at. And what they're looking at is that gene transfer in two regions, if you remember. The WHO has, I think it's seven regions of the world. If a novel virus moves from into two regions, on human to human now, transfer, it can be considered a global pandemic. And this is what came out almost immediately. And people, you can just tell how many people are moving in the world in airplanes and stuff. It's pretty fascinating as well. First patient with Wuhan coronavirus is identified in the U.S. A man in Washington State is infected with the new respiratory virus. Federal officials plan to expand screenings for infections at major airports. This came home to the United States. Very shortly, it started hitting at other places. Why that was important for me was not it is a bit of the factor, whatever they're talking about, showed up. But if it's the lady with the red, if it's the lady with the red fingernail polish, I'm not so sure. And so I'm going to have to look at that part, and that's what's going to keep us from going nuts a bit, if we just look at that and think about something. But the reason this would became important, the first patient with Wuhan coronavirus identified in the United States, was the transfer that I understood by the reports I had, that we had the DNA transfer. We didn't have DNA transfer. We had a transfer of the virus marker to another region, which potentially invokes whose authority, if you will, by their guidance. And they have a whole set of rules. And I've got a link for the books and everything if you want to get into this. And I think it's important to see it because then you can watch how the script is running out. Knowing how the script is running out, as long as it's running out, it looks like a simulation. And so that tones down this whole thing for any one of you who would be interested. And that's what I tell you, I want to extend this out beyond the virus. That is in any subject matter. As soon as you get a handle on it and you watch the script running out, you know where you knows it when you see them, you knows where they are, and you knows actually if you're involved and how to head it off at the pass. In this case, how to better protect yourself or when to really bring this into an elevated risk. And that the elevated risks happen in different subject matters, whether that's your 5G, whether that's your power meters, and all the health of vitamin, all that stuff. It's all got the same view to me. These alternative sciences, so-called authorities, come in and they cover over a real problem, or they're used to cover a problem, and then they destroy your inherent right or your abilities by doing so, to the profit of those that they give cover to. First patient in the United States that confirmed to me two different regions from the WHO's regulatory authority. And so what's a pandemic now comes in mind again to qualify. Just out of Wikipedia for y'all, nothing special, just to keep track. A pandemic is an epidemic of disease that has spread across a large region, for instance, multiple continents or even worldwide. A widespread endemic disease that is stable in terms of how many people are getting sick from it is not a pandemic. Further, flu pandemics generally exclude recurrences of seasonal flu. Throughout history, there have been a number of pandemics such as smallpox and tuberculosis. One of the most devastating pandemics was the Black Death, which killed an estimated 100 million people in the 14th century. The most recent pandemic included HIV pandemic as well, and I think that's been made up as well, like any of this, as well as the 1918 and 2009 H1N1. We know that was novel, made-up, patented pandemics. Now, let me get back up one little distinction, one that the exclusion of the recurrence of seasonal flu is also in the discussion of the WHO documents, and that's particularly a problem because the WHO does not do bacterial vectors, to my understanding. And we'll see that in their definitions. We'll see that in what when they talk about specifically making laboratories that are for influenza. The Black Death, I think, was a bacterial infection that caused three different responses, was not viral. And so you got to keep track of this. Not so bad. Just understand it's a difference. Let's go to the Black Death. It's also known as pestilence. The Great Plague or the Plague, and less commonly the Black Plague, was one of the most devastating pandemics in human history, resulting in the deaths of an estimated 75 to 200 million people in Eurasia, peaking in Europe in 1347 to 1351. The bacterium Yersinia pestis, which results in several forms of plague, septicemic, pneumonic, and the most common bubonic, is believed to have been the cause, believed to have been the cause. Again, this is that same question today. Going back, it's bacterial, not viral. And so we look now to focus in on what the WHO, which was the World Bank's reference, what's their point right off the bat? And I couldn't find the original definition, but I'll use this one anyway. I'll use the one, and also we'll get into phases. Remember, there's phases of pandemics. This becomes a question as well. Again, if you can follow the script, you can realize that the script's there to follow. You can rationalize better instead of working out of the fog of fear how to look at what this is going to do in case the needle tries to stick you and to look past the stay haystack. What is a pandemic? I'll just use this first sentence, and this kind of qualifies this whole thing. I won't get too far. I don't have much time. But a pandemic by WHO, by the WHO, not some owl hooting and not the rock group, but this supposed health organization. A pandemic is a worldwide spread of new disease. Now you hear the proof of the failure of recurrent flu of being in part of a pandemic. Because the WHO looks at new disease. You know what the new means, folks? It's almost like I told you, this is a script. You just read the script. Just read the code words. New is novel, isn't it? So just replace the word. They only look for novel disease. And so their mission is to go find novel disease. And boy, like a wet market like China, I'm sure it's full. Anyone they want to find, they can find new, because man is not that smart. He's getting smarter, but he's not too intelligent, right? S-M-A-R-T. He's being processed by this process right here that these people do. And we miss the trick. New is novel. They will only deal in these novel. As I've identified for you and proven out since 2009 when it was became most notable, it's patented stuff what they're dealing with. In other words, they know. These labs know what's coming. And that's why they tell you they do simulations and hope they don't want to use them. Because they're planning because they know it's there. But they're going to stand like they're your friends. So, a pandemic is a worldwide spread of new disease. That's not even true. Because it's actually when it spreads to two regions. Separate regions. And I've told you that the human-to-human vector actually started worse after they got a vaccine in. And the human-to-human transmission happened to be a doctor injecting the victim with a vaccine. Wasn't the virus infecting one person which infected another. Let's go back to Washington State. That's the first entry into the United States of someone with the virus in a new region. That's not human to human in the United States. Let me direct you to a link eventually. The role of national influenza centers during interpandemic, pandemic alert, and pandemic periods. This is all written down. They can't declare, and they didn't, and everyone wonders why, if this is spread around the world in spots, why they haven't declared a pandemic. It's because the mere presence in a second region wouldn't trigger it by their six-phase standard. That the role of the National Influenza Centers will be following in their reports and what they do. The National Influenza Centers is not bacterial. Right here, it's viral. So why are they dealing in bacterial things if they're not weapons labs under cover? And these are like interrelated all over the world, and we got another layer of control going on. But it also can be abused or used against people, like we might be seeing the United States, Canada, funneling some stuff over. Now we're going to put the shackles on the one who done it, and that might have been a setup too. That could be real. To do what? To destroy the economy of China a bit, right? Well, possibility, probability, but you want the role of those centers for these pandemic periods? Why you haven't heard a pandemic issued? Go read this document. I got it. I got a link so we can go read through it. Don't know, you know, how much I can do, but they explain something. With individual countries, the NIC is likely to represent the primary source of expertise in a surveillance and response to epidemics and pandemics of influenza. Nothing bacterial here, folks. You have to wonder why they deal in any of that. But consequently, the triggering of many of the well-planned interventions described in national influenza pandemic preparedness plans will depend upon its effective functioning. At the present, there are 118 NICs, National Influenza Centers, folks. These are all these labs in 89 countries officially designated by national authorities and recognized by WHO. Not the OWL and not the ROT group, but this organization, UN, using this consensus formula, this interposition, Agenda 2030 imposition, all this stuff. These are 118 influenza centers interlocked with one system. The Wuhan Center is a new center, that is part of this system. And so we go to the WHO pandemic phases. Talked to you a long time about this. Couldn't find the original document, but it's good enough. I get it out of the NIH.gov site. They go through and tell you there's six. And if you read through this, you'll realize why a pandemic has not yet been called, given there are, even though it's across many different regions, WHO regions, that hasn't been called. And I think the only thing I can think of is wherever you find them go to a place, that's not it traveling. It's when that transmission goes to someone else, they will then raise the level, given some other factors on virility, as to whether or not it goes to their level 6 when they call a pandemic global. Again, by the script. They're going strictly by this script, and they're not following this through. Well, if they're not there yet, then they've got a problem with the transmission, and they haven't gone to two regions yet, even though you're hearing it all over the world. But how many numbers? There's not that very many in numbers, given the severity of the propaganda. And so we could, again, you can get this link. Remember the phases. They'll define them for you. It's a script. You can just go by it. They refer to the International Health Regulations as an International Health Regulations book that covers the globe that every country agrees to. That means your militaries have signed off on it. The militaries, I'm sure, are using those as conduits, and I think that might be part of the story of what's coming out of Canada, as the Kanukistinian government covers its CYAs here and tries not to make it look like they were any part of the cause, which could very well be part of the method. And then we had, again, I talked before, I got a link for you that somebody points out, he's supposed to be a doctor who invented inventor of email, says the coronavirus patent is owned by Perbright Institute. The problem with these patents, and I'm not going to say this isn't the one, the problem with most of these patents is very hard to find out which one they are. The point is that these are novel, patented. Novel and patented, not novel and new. And the WHO twist of that term is a clue of what we're dealing with when you see it correctly. When you see that, that was how I was able to go quickly in 2009 and determine that virus would be real when pigs flew. Right? So then at the same time, very interestingly, a retired epidemiologist dies during this time from Australia. He's from Australia. The prominent Australian epidemiologist, Dr. Peter Salma, dies. So I'm just wondering, without just an idea, what might he have been witnessing that someone found out that they didn't want out? I don't know. Maybe nothing. He's only 51 years old. An expert in this field is gone now as well. Also a witness, if I can say it that way. That we now have, I think, laid the table for. This is a very particular thing that the WHO does and promotes, the governments are involved with, that the militaries have to be involved in because of what they deal with. The question of weaponization is always denied, but it's kind of an open secret that it's likely going on. And then I come to this option of our thoughts that I thought that John Rappaport touched very well throughout many submissions. And today, new China virus swine flu hoax. History matters. And so John goes through and explains to us and reminds us how to really settle back and look at what, folks, who I've been saying this year in the last couple broadcasts, hindsight is 2020. He doesn't say it this way. I'm just saying we're pretty consistent here on how we look back and identify things. He writes, most reporters, when an epidemic is announced, take the bait. It's the buy-in I talked to you about, folks. Automatically. They fall for the con and hustle like rookies going to Vegas for the first time thinking They're going to score on the betting tables. They make the crucial mistake of believing that some virus has really been discovered and is about to wreak havoc in the population. A new virus story always sounds good. It will have legs. People will want to know about it. Some reporters, blithely accepting the existence of a dire impact of a virus, will take the ball and run with it into new territory. Quote, the virus was created in a lab, close quote. They don't stop to consider the possibility confirmed by history that the hoax goes all the way to the bottom. No virus was actually discovered, and if it was, there is zero proof that it's harmful. They missed that vital step. And this is where we start looking to remind ourselves what is true causation and how do you prove it, and whether or not the information you're given by those that will promote information and accept it and re-promote it, it what could actually do and be enough. And this is where part of what I've been talking about today, with causation, we don't go and they don't study where exactly it did. They don't look to see if whether or not the red fingernails existed, whether or not that was enough to cause the problem. Maybe there was another thing. Let me remind you, this is the height of flu season. It's not just this flu, it's all kinds of flu. Well, we have a symptoms of flu, and all of a sudden we found a lady with red fingernails, and that's it. But that doesn't mean that's the actual cause of the symptoms. He writes also a number of stories here. I'll just read partially from him to give ourselves a step back. I think he did a great job at doing this. He does something else that now got my attention on his work here this time, because it talks to what I tell you about. It talks to watching out for that stockholder. The stakeholders are behind this. I've just given you a whole list of categories of those that could be stakeholders, having an interest, having an imposition that they can put, a thing that needs to be protected. They also have a cover. They run cover over some other problems. Man who pushed SARS dud, now pushing new Chinese virus, was another thing that John wrote, talking about the Chinese doctor who essentially was the inventor of the threat of the coronavirus. And he identifies here, I'll just read it here, the first few updates, things are moving fast. The Chinese government has locked down Wuhan and a city of 11 million people owing to the threat of coronavirus. There are also travel restrictions in several other Chinese cities. What does it all prove? His answer, nothing. None of these actions prove anything. He goes through a whole litany of things that prove none of this actually means what they're promoting. It's just an action taken. On the point of lockdown, I've already told you, that's like a martial imposition. And so that's the thing that bothers me a lot for anybody, and for us in particular. That's what I've told you is going to be the necessity that I don't know, I don't have any answer for when that comes upon you. But he goes on to write here, to expose this problem, the Zhang's Nashan's 2003 SARS, quote, pandemic was a dud. The WHO, an advisory against traveling to, quote, infected Toronto, cost merchants in the city several billion dollars. Meanwhile, the Canadian WHO biologist Frank Plummer told the press he was shocked by the fact that fewer and fewer SARS patients had the virus in their bodies. Actually, fewer and fewer, he said, was approaching zero. Hoax. The purported cause of the disease wasn't there, John writes. People had ordinary flu symptoms. What do you do when this sort of embarrassment occurs? Do you confess the whole business was a mistake or a con or a hustle? Do you own up to the fact that when people are said to be suffering from ordinary flu symptoms and you're calling it a new disease with a new cause, you're wrong and you're very, very sorry? Do you point out that people who don't have the cause of a new disease in their bodies don't have the new disease? He writes, of course not. You just move ahead and pray no one notices. And that's partly what I try to do behind the woodshed. Get your attention. You need to notice. Whether it's really relevant to you, right against you as a threat, is not the point for me ever. It's that you identify it and you put it in a proper place of priority. And then you focus on what you need to do. And some of you don't think there's anything you need to do, but you know, I've got other opinions on a lot of that. Here's the capper, he writes. Read carefully. The World Health Organization claims that every year there are between 3 and 5 million cases of ordinary run-of-the-mill flu in the world, resulting in 290,000 to 650,000 deaths. The symptoms are indistinguishable from SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome. But for some reason, they don't declare ordinary flu an outgoing epidemic. No, they choose SARS, for which the cause is absent, and they call that an epidemic. It caused 800 deaths versus 290,000 to 650,000 deaths in that year, folks. And yet we hear this noise. Let me point out before in the other paragraph, he says, remember, a new disease with a new cause. Why? Because that's the definition from which the WHO works. It has to be novel. You've seen it before, it won't happen. That's why they keep going these numbers, these N numbers, these variable numbers. They can make it new, they can make a new cause, they can make a new fear, they can make a new terror. They can get you to do whatever they want. They can cripple economies and countries. He writes further, new virus in China, he's yelling out here, caps. New virus in China, watch out, spreading. Animals to humans, pandemics coming up, obey authorities. All hands on deck, centered in Wuhan, city of 11 million. Will they quarantine and shut down Hong Kong? Travelers with virus getting through to Europe and America? What's the name of the virus? 2019-nCoV or nCoV 2019? What? Thank God the Chinese are under a tight dictatorship. They can crack down and quarantine anybody at whim. If your body temperature is elevated on the test and they stop you, wow. We need that in the United States. As long as they don't stop me, impeachment, forget that. It's the virus. In 19 years of this website, his website at nomorefakenews.com, the one story I've researched, he writes, as John Rappaport researched, and covered more than any other, is the deadly virus hustle. SARS, swine flu, Ebola, etc. Now we have a new one. The possible, maybe, coronavirus from China. Now, as I read that last sentence, I'm with John on this. I want to make sure that we understand, again, this. They are promoting, the news is the haystack of information. We got to be cautious to not disregard reaching into that haystack and not getting poked by the pin that actually has the real thing, which could be inside what the military might cause. Or some other nut. Now, let me point out something here. He's pointing out all of us, step back. These are all been set up. These are all the, as I point out, the simulations. You notice he didn't talk about those simulations there. These are models they run all the time, hoping that it'll never happen. That's not why they do that. These are risk assessments that they can put pressure on people to do and cause energy, like money and loans to go out or not and all this other stuff. But let me tell you something here that I found that was fascinating to me. Again, the cover-up of things, what they don't want you to know, that you can find if you look around. And I think, I don't know if I spent too much time on this project or not, but it's just I pulled all together what I did for you. That I read these kinds of things, this story right here, this report, again, from the NIH.gov, as a study that explains to us certain things relative to, can you focus on it as a cause? John says all the studies he's done, they never show you that it's the actual cause. Markers might be present, but they can't prove cause. You might have the same symptoms of flu, but what doesn't cause symptoms of flu that's an invasion to your immune system? Then I find this report increased, and I think you all need to listen to this, because those of you that have had, and I don't know how long this was, I didn't read that close, anybody who's had, at least here, a trivalent vaccine, might want to be considered of this report right here. And this kind of opens the whole thing to doubt. Not doubt that you can get something, but doubt that it's something specific to the coronavirus or any other flu, any other type of organism, a viral organism. Increased risk of non-influenza respiratory virus infections associated with receipt of inactivated influenza vaccine. Can I read that again to y'all, folks? Your risk isn't the influenza once you get the vaccine. It's that you are diminished in non-influenza respiratory virus infections. The increased risk of non-influenza respiratory virus infections associated with receipt of inactivated influenza vaccines. Okay, so you have a vaccine you've taken. In this case, they did a trivalent. Yeah, I'll read it here. We randomized 115 children to trivalent inactivated influenza vaccine, TIV, or placebo. The conclusion here in the abstract, being protected against influenza by the vaccine, TIV, recipients may lack temporary nonspecific immunity that protected against other respiratory viruses. Do you think that meat market has a ton of these things going on? Do you think maybe the Chinese vaccine program is bringing into a temporary capacity the temporary amenability to other respiratory harm to people? Is that looked on? I saw this and I said, folks, be careful of this one, all of you, because if you were to take the flu shot, you can get other respiratory conditions on you. In other words, you would be, if coronavirus is something where you may have been able to fight it off on its own because it wasn't that virulent, and it says they're not that virulent, you would be susceptible. Your system is, your immune system is diminished. Oh, you're fine against the flu, they say here, but you are now susceptible to respiratory infection. What does SARS stand for? Was it serious acute respiratory syndrome? Come from whatever, right? Respiratory failure. And you get pneumonia from it. So you get the flu shot, you're going to open yourself by this study to something else. So my point here is, how do we know the actual cause? Yes, we can be infected by even the coronavirus. It could exist. But is that the actual cause of our respiratory condition? By that last study, I'd have to tell you, there's no way to know that. There's just no way that that did anything. And John Rappaport, again, relying on a bunch of stuff he wrote. I hadn't seen him writing. Well, I was off for a week, but I hadn't seen him writing. He came out like a guns a-blazing, reminding people, look at the history. He's found nothing but hoax and fraud. Let's take another look at this. And I rely on some of his expertise to do this. But the only caveat is that pin in the haystack. He's developing the haystack for y'all. And again, not to negate your own considerations on this, but China virus epidemic, the Gong Show on roller skates. And he writes, you automatically believe the Chinese coronavirus is a killer. You automatically believe the press when they ratchet up the fear. You automatically believe the medical experts have found a virus and proved it's causing human illness. You're on the Gong Show of roller skates. Congratulations. The Chinese government has now shut down transportation in the huge city of Wuhan, where the supposedly deadly coronavirus surfaced a few months ago, where an open-air fish market, and anyone looking in the contaminated flesh at the market, dangerous lack of sanitation, and therefore looking into the virus naturally, and as I say, as I keep saying in the past, in recent articles, we have a massive tradition of fake epidemics. Are they looking at all these things to find the actual cause? This hasn't been done. I haven't seen any evidence of it. He's reminding us that's the failure. The silence. Remember, folks? We've got to look for that. I talked to you about all this stuff. But I can just focus everything I've told you back on this one subject matter. As I've told you I can do. I've said in the past I can do this to any subject matter. I'm not telling you about the situation. I'm telling you about how you can analyze these things really lickety-split. And you, it may or may not be a threat. I'm not qualifying any of that. I'm saying you can now look at this stuff when you have a comprehensive awareness of what's going on. You learn the battlefield better. He writes, you have to understand. He's writing, not talking to us. Most people want to hear this. It's rather astonishing. Most people feel compelled to believe in the virus because it's dangerous. It's a killer. It's real. It's a global threat. Pro-vaccine people, anti-vaccine people, it doesn't matter. They salute the virus. That's the point of the focus and cover. This is the stalking horse I keep telling you about. Well, they're taking aim at something else, likely you, in a totally different fashion or function. It could even be a mental attack. They're getting you to accede to their to like queen's ascent, accede to this overriding power and authority. It's all based in a fraud, non-disclosure. You don't ask, and you don't get the proper questions. When you do, they beat on you a bit, like China will. I understand that not during this time, people are trying to fight the pollution that the industry is making their people sick, just like flu symptoms, and the government's thrashing those people trying to do that. The government's covering industry here to protect it at the harm of their people. And so this is another dynamic, as I mentioned before, that's going on that we don't hear too much about. This is the same dynamic, though, that I talked to you relative to how they take us down in the States on our subject matters I talk about. They pump up an alternative of harm, of fear, of climate change. And then what? They throw a bunch of nonsense at you. Oh, we have best science, bunch of BS. Best science is BS. It's politics, not actual science. It's political agenda under color of legitimate science. It's not hoax, and it's nothing but fraud. It ends up being treason, as I've explained it. But here, so this is now just this subject matter in pointing to this virus vector thing. Here's something else you should think about, he writes. The so-called origin of points of epidemic. SARS 2003, the Amoy Gardens apartment complex in Hong Kong, swine flu 2009, a giant commercial pig farm in La Gloria, Mexico, and now in 2020. Hindsight, 2020, we should get this one. The Chinese coronavirus, an open-air animal and fish market in Wuhan. At the Amy Gardens complex, there were leaks in the pipes. Human waste was leaking. People were falling ill. My, what a surprise. They needed to call a plumber, not the World Health Organization, virus hunters. Remember, he said virus is the term. It's the thing that causes terror in everybody. It's the terrorism. They call the WHO calls the virus hunters. In fact, you needed a plumber in that regard, didn't it? And this is what I've been telling you about, looking for the actual cause. He's identifying here. John did a really good job this weekend on this stuff. A lot more to read in what John writes, too. I'm not going to be able to touch it in not near the way he would probably converse with it. At the pig farm in the La Gloria, huge feces lagoons, yes, were lying there out in the sun. The lagoons were routinely sprayed with toxic chemicals. Workers were falling ill. What a shock. So they brought in people to spray even more toxic chemicals on the pig shite lagoons. They needed a major environmental cleanup. Instead, they got the World Health and CDC virus hunters. And now, in Wuhan, the virus hunters are at it again. They want to test the flesh at the markets for the viruses. Here are a few recommendations. Check the water supply in the market. Is it dirty? Check the refrigeration. Are the fish and animals' meats always fresh? Is it in place clean? Is it washed down well every day? Actually look at the premises. I know, it's a revolutionary act, but steel yourself and go ahead. And this is the fact and the point. No one asks to go do that. I can tell you by the video link I'll show you, and I wish I had their name. They make a great contribution, at least to see it from the outside, what they were living in with for years, and they're now back in the States. But there is no refrigeration. Medieval is what they described it. So that we don't even have that starting. And they have all other cultural things that are going on that we know now by the hygiene and sanitation spread of disease consideration, regardless of what you're dealing with. We're dealing with the vectors of disease because no one understands this stuff and no one cares to understand, and it's culturally acceptable to not understand. Now, the youngsters, I understand, are trying to fight, but they're the ones now that they bring up a question, they get beat down by the government. How ludicrous. But that's what we're not hearing as well. All right, we hear a little bit here and there with the Twitter. I think there was a nurse last night, and maybe we should get into the numbers, what these numbers are soon enough. But they say that it's much more. The video says it's like at least double. The woman, and there's supposed to be a nurse that whose account got cut, she says it's even more than that by percentage. Let me get on to one more John Rappaport study, and this is where I got the guinea pig idea. But I was thinking of the pig's fly flu, so this is just the pig's fly flu 2.0, I suppose. How to treat you all like guinea pigs and get that to fly. Vaccine for the China virus, The planet is the guinea pig for a vast experiment. And remember, for the United States, that's Title 50. You're not supposed to experiment on people with all this stuff, but we get to as a government, because we said so. Go read it, folks. Go read through it. Well, okay, if you want to go read it and have someone read it to you, Clint Richardson did a fine job putting it into his lethal injection video. I identified that for us, and you really need to read this, and some of this has to go in to what you're telling people, because they have license to hurt people, as I tell you all the time. So if you want it read to you, go find Lethal Injection. It's farther in, I don't remember, 20 minutes in or whatever, into that bag. He'll read the parts and the exceptions to you where you're not supposed to do this unless you're the government. The U.S. National Institute of Health, NIH, is launching a rush program to develop a vaccine against China coronavirus. The goal? Have a vaccine ready for human testing in an unprecedented 90 days. You got to listen to this, folks. There's not even causation on this, and they're going to try and run this through an unprecedented 90 days. This should start to terrify you based on what some decisions been made to be able to think they're going to get away with it because you don't respond, you crickets. But they're thinking that's going to be a valid thing to do, and they're going to go ahead. A novel. This thing is such a tyrant in the world, this coronavirus. They're actually going to do this next unprecedented activity. United States government's doing this. It's supposed to be in league with all these other WHO organizations, but the United States government's already up front going to do this. NIH is partnering with a U.S. vaccine company, Moderna Incorporated. This is from John Rappaport's website. All this information that I've been reading here in the last few minutes is from his website. This is out just as a broadcast was breaking. The vaccine is a new type of RNA, according to Reuters, quote, with Wuhan virus genetic code in hand, scientists begin work on a vaccine January 24, 2020. Quote, these are, in quote per brackets, vaccines based on ribonucleic acid, RNA, a chemical messenger that contains instructions for making proteins. The PhD Foundation University of Cambridge explains further. Unlike a normal vaccine, RNA vaccines work by introducing an mRNA sequence. Parenthetically, the molecule which tells cells what to build, which is coded for a disease-specific antigen, a virus, once produced within the body, the antigen virus is recognized by the immune system, preparing it to fight the real thing. Funded by CEPI, who is that? They give a Twitter link. Its website says CEPI is an innovative global partnership between public, private, philanthropic, and civil society organizations. We are working together to accelerate the development of vaccines against emerging infectious diseases and enable equitable access to these vaccines for people during outbreaks. They're going to hand you this stuff to kill yourself, I suppose. But anyway, let me go back up that one thing that we were talking about. Remember, it says it builds, teaches, instructs. Remember that AI control, that new technology, AI instruction cells that build things. That's what I read in here as well that I reported to you before. Going on here, what he writes, a more relevant quote, CEPI was founded in Davos by the governments of Norway and India, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Wellcome Trust, and the World Economic Forum. Bill Gates, doesn't that send your trust and faith rocketing up into the sky? He writes, there's more. Going back to the Moderna Incorporated website, at the bottom of the press release referenced above, we find a very interesting statement in a section titled Special Note Regarding Forward-Looking Statements. Quote, there has never been a commercial product utilizing mRNA technology approved for use. Closed quote. And there you have it, John writes. The vaccine that is being tapped by the U.S. government under its National Institutes of Health through drug company Moderna has never been used in the public before. It is not licensed for public use. RNA vaccines and the technology they use are extremely experimental, and this is the type of vaccine being rushed into existence in 90 days. What in the world could possibly go wrong, folks, as he writes. And so, more to read, a few more points there. I don't need to say more than for my point. This is, you see, Davos dingbats that they're meeting right now on this climate change. The WHO, they're all integrated. Just like I told you, it's a conspiracy right in your face. It's not even a covert conspiracy that they are setting up to act already. The United States government is ahead on that point. Why the Canadian story it was so serious because it looked more like a military attack on the economics of a city to see how that model works. All right, so I can't tell you that it's not something, but I'm not so sure it is what they're saying it is. And then our threat level has to be assessed a little bit different. Coronavirus inside info and discussion is a video you can get again from cryptogon.com. Oh, Serpent Za was the account that they talked about. This is the gentleman that used to work and live in China, who are now in the States again. And they talked to us about what they learned, and one of them is in the medical field. He actually taught the doctors over there and tells us their standards of hygiene and things and sanitation are not like ours that we would be understanding in the States. And so he explains how their culture accepts certain things forever. I mean, it's been thousands of years they do this, that are not, now that we understand how these real flus work, are not conducive to stopping anything. And that's the real danger. They did predict that the doctors were very concerned because they didn't have coverage, and now we hear that one doctor has died. At the same time, the military doctors are being brought in, as I bring that back. So let me synthesize this down. Those of us in anywhere in the United States, we're hearing that these vectors are coming from Wuhan. We're not, no, we want to look very carefully. They also tell you they don't know who the people are that came with them or they met before the symptoms were found that they turned themselves in, so to speak. They're put in isolation. And all this is fine that they do that. What we want to be paying attention to is how, once they identify that, they isolate somebody and they attempt, and they try to find everybody who that one contacted, look for a time to see how it develops. Does it stay to those groups, or does it start to make news? And how fast? Then you qualify whether or not that's a programmed simulation or if it's real. That might be a little bit, but you're looking to see, when it came to the United States, does it go anywhere? If it's not going anywhere, I suspect that's more of a simulation. And if it's real, it's contained by first world countries with proper response. For us, then, it wouldn't be such a threat. Your bigger threat is really what? It's the flu season. Let's get into some of the numbers before I get too far. I almost forgot about that. Remember we talked about the percentages. I said, let's use the top end. Let's say we're saying this is the worst season that we get out of the United States is the worst influenza season. Australia was the same thing in the report. Let's apply that to the 23 million people. And we can see something's amiss, I hope. And I'm going to use the number that I read last night of a nurse. I think Grimner's Twitter account put this out as an automated thing, that a nurse made a claim that it was actually people that were affected are 90,000 people instead of what we're being told. I'm not doing this for sensational. I'm just saying let's use that number because it's impressive in the final analysis. 90,000 people is a lot of people. But let's put it in context of the height of the flu season. In the height of the flu season, in the worst year, the United States says its infection rate is at 11% of the population. Let's apply 10% to make it easy for me. Let's apply 10% to 23 million people. Let's say it's all contained, doesn't go anywhere. Now, let's apply a normal 10% effect rate at the peak of the season right now to 23 million people. So what number do you get? We get 2.3 million people, don't we? From 23 million people in a high level rate, influenza rate area, we should be seeing at this point in time 2.3 million people affected. And that would be normal for normal influenza. So 90,000, even though it sounds like a lot, when you deal with the amount of population densities that we're dealing with in people, we're really not saying anything at all. I was going to give you a number, but I'm embarrassed to say it because I've done it three or four times to check what percentage is 90% of 23 million, and I keep getting a number so low it's embarrassing to comment because I think I'm making mistakes. It's so low what the percentage is yet. This doesn't even rise up to even what the coronavirus would be at 90,000 people. And so this is like what John Rappaport was saying over, like, well, I think it was SARS. It was 800 worldwide. It's nothing, actually. The influenza actually kills up to 650,000 people. We only have 90,000 people in a place of 23 million, where the worst rate would give us even more than 2.3 million people. We could hear right now that 2.3 million people are affected, and it would still be within the historic norm by 1% more. And those are just the norms of a study. I don't think that there's any containment at some level. That's just what we use for statistics. Now, we're getting to 11%. I mean, that starts to get into somewhere, but there's infection rates of measles at 20%. So let's add that number to 23 million. And we got, what, 4.6 million? We could hear 4.6 million if it was measles, and that would be nothing. And so, not to diminish it. If it's a needle in the haystack, you don't want to be stuck by that needle. If it's a haystack, just avoid the haystack. And so, I wanted to... Inside this, you see a mechanism. You see how they're manipulating. You're seeing how they're using stalking horses, what John would tell you is a cover for the virus, for actual problems, industry being covered up, harms to little people, their people, being covered up by the pollution by this as well. Real harms. Climate change instead of pollution is what they do. This is the fingerprints of organized crime at the highest levels. And everybody that's in there, like Melinda Gates underneath the economic enhancement type ideas, that's what they're doing. It's about industry. It's about GDP. It's about governmental interrelationships, public-private partnerships. The fingerprints are all over this. So to put it in my perspective today, I'm watching the thing at Washington. I'm watching Dallas now. You find that people are starting to show up from out there, and they're being identified. What we're looking for is the spread from there and how fast, and then your proximity to that. If this is a simulation, it likely stops right there because they're testing. You're testing Yuan and the lockdown, maybe even the military. This is set up to be a military maneuver to kill some economics out of Wuhan. I don't know. But for us to focus energy on it, I'm only going to be looking to see what spread rates are in the places that it went to, in places that are able to handle it, because that's going to be the telltale on the actual virulence. If it's not very virile, I'm asking everybody to stop, calm down, educate other people that become scared, but you can focus your attention on things that are much more important. And I guess that's my whole point right there. As we move on to something that's kind of interesting to me, and we talk about the Davos dingbats and all this stuff, the policies of which are coming out of these same festering places. The end is nigh, folks. Doomsday clock reaches 100 seconds to midnight. Doomsday clock, folks, is an icon. There's another thing about icons that gets your mind all fixed on it. Okay, I've seen this doomsday clock for a long time. And I give a bit of idea to give our awareness that, you know, we're not so nice people in the world that we really should clean our act up that way and stop being a threat to ourselves. But it used to be the update for the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists and the new Doomsday Clock to show how integrated this mental illness is, or this plan of destruction for you all, and all these people that create icons that other people rely on and buy into as anything like the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, let's give one to Obama. He's such a peaceful dude. He then goes out and destroys everybody underneath the executive order to indefinite detention, or kills people through drone attack without due process. Okay, these people, folks. The grim assessment comes from this morning's update, a week ago or so, of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. Here's where the point is. They're supposed to be atomic scientists. The Doomsday Clock announced at the press event in Washington, D.C., during which the vulnerable nuclear watchdog group made its annual announcement on how close humanity is to destroying itself with twin threats of nuclear weapons and climate change. Climate change is now, this fraud has been risen up in science, folks, to the level of a nuclear weapon. And I just can't help to tell you how, well, I'm holding back a big bust of gut here, but it's serious. The position of the clock's hands is determined by the Bulletin's Science and Security Board, along with its board of sponsors, which includes 13 Nobel laureates. Folks, these organized criminals, they're all together. If I've never seen them before, I can identify them now. Okay, we're behind the eight ball, I keep telling you. But this is how you find out you've been being played. The same type of players, the same organization, the same partnerships. How are nuclear scientists able to actually validate adding climate change is beyond me. People will accept it. No one counted it. No one denounced it. No one denounced them because of it. But here we have it. The same people in Davos that do this stuff, right? Make these policies that bring up, agree to incorporate climate change. That's where it all comes from. It all has this source. If you don't think it's all connected, over and over. Climate change could trigger a financial crisis. Central banks may have to bail out fossil fuel operators. This is a fantastically interesting story to me. They're actually going after the natural resources here. You don't think the World Bank's involved when you hear this story based on climate change and the doomsday clock now incorporating that? Even though it's supposed to be a nuclear disaster that we were looking at? Now I'm even questioning the nuclear disaster. It's all been a nonsense. And I think it all has been a nonsense when you look at what the nations do to bring themselves right to the brink and how lucky we've been over the decades since nuclear weapons. That clock is useless. But anyway, they use it for a reason, to help you buy into, lose yourself, I guess, to not really look at it and not be functional. We would have to call it out. We have to come together in our respective interests, and we have to organize up and call out better what was going on, like I've been trying to do here with that Virginia, you know, the sanctuary, not an answer, not good. That's got to be a psyop. The better answer is already written down in the first few sections of a constitution. That read like a, when you write it, it reads like a complaint. It's perfect. Okay, so that's what I see. I don't know about anybody else. But we always go the wrong direction. We buy into this other stuff. We embrace the wrong thing. And when you find out the people behind the curtain that we should have ripped down and tarred and feathered the one we found and dealt with it, and then dealt with the real problems, we don't do. The climate change could change your financial crisis. Central banks may have to bail out fossil fuels. This is the central banks coming. This is the international BIS coming after your energy, the source of your energy, through this fraud called climate change. The clock, 100 seconds, not a minute and a half, not a 10 seconds more, a minute and a half, it's 100 seconds. Okay? This is, 60 minutes. It's like 60 seconds. It's a little bit longer than a broadcast show. Climate rescuers of last resort are going to be the central banks to control your coal and oil. This is a bank of international settlements. If you don't understand the scope and the seriousness of this, this is the virus here. This is the real one you have to be careful of. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what more to say. If you're not interested in this, help us all. We all need to be interested in this stuff. This is how they're taking it down. This is how they're getting us in. You will need energy. You think A2030 has been stopped because we hit 2020? They're in the last stretch, and this is moving forward fast, just like I told you it would. Get this other story. World Economic Forum debuts framework of central bank digital currency. These are the Davos dingbats, folks. These are just them making their plan and pushing forward because you're crickets. We're all focused on a coronavirus, which in my estimation is a simulation at this point, even though it could be being used by the military to economically harm the United States and Canada harming China. I don't know. It could happen. They're going to be harmed just like Toronto was. You think maybe that was a backhanded, we're now giving it back to them, Canada? World Economic Forum debuts framework of central bank digital currency. I told you this was coming this way. I told you they won't be doing it until they've worked it out for them. They're going to be on a digital system. They're going to work out the framework. It's not going to be for y'all. They're going to make hybrid systems that you might be able to plug into. This story is telling you today. 2020, we look back, the hindsight that they said it's coming. Here it is. We got 10 years. They're going to implement 2030. You're going to be put on these. You're going to have your Bitcoin, all right. They already got a name for theirs. It's based in a policy toolkit. It's going to be their digital currency for their system. Central Bank Digital Currency is what it's called, CBDC, not CBD oil. And D.C. I found fascinating, Washington. Anyway, according to the announcement, January 2nd, a toolkit. I told you the World Bank toolkits. I talked to you about these a long time ago. Go find the toolkit. That'll be how these people are taking you down. They have a toolkit for every subject matter in your life on how you take your governments down in order to impose all this stuff. And that's how I started to realize how to address them as well. Again, I don't come back with just these ideas. I've had to do a little bit of research to find out how what the battlefield really is and how to address it, why I tell you what I do, whether or not I explain so clearly why. Maybe that'll be my failure, what the failure was. I don't know. A toolkit. The WEF attempt to help policymakers understand policy, no law, understand whether deploying the CBDC would be advantageous and guide them through its design. The WEF collaborated with regulators. These terms are so consistent. With regulators, central bank researchers, international organizations, and experts from over 40 institutions to develop the framework. They talk to you folks? I doubt it. The head of blockchain distributed ledger technology, DLT, at the World Economic Forum, Sheila Warren, explained, given the critical roles the central bank play in the global economy, any central bank digital currency implementation, including potentially the blockchain technology, will have a profound impact domestically and internationally. You can read more, folks. It's right here what I've been telling you. 2020, they're moving. This is happening exactly the way the plan would set up. This is the last decade till the end of the next goal. You're not stopping it. You're not stepping up. I don't know what more to say. This coronavirus is just another distraction. I want us to start learning how better to find it. We can listen to what's going on, identify it, prioritize that distraction, and if it's important, we deal with it. If not, keep an eye on it. If it's that, it could be a threat, but put it aside and focus on the things that stop these people from doing exactly what I've told you they've been doing for the last 10 years and planned before. It was all written down. That is coming to fruition. The future we want has nothing to do with your future. In fact, you'll be the guinea pig. You'll be just like what John Rappaport was talking about. All right? That's what's going to happen here. We're going to be this is a pig's fly flu 2.0. Guinea pig, how to make a guinea pig fly. You're going to fly right where they want you, and you're going to be happy with that. And I don't know. I don't know what to say more than that. It's right here in my eyes. I see it. I think I'm discerning it fairly clearly, and I'm trying to work out ways for you all to hear, if you haven't figured some of this stuff out, that we've got a thing to do. We can change things, but we have to understand how to look at the battlefield and not be gummed up and get our feet stuck, if you will. Thank you, Grimner, for what you do. Thank you for all y'all that did what you did. And Sound Minds, thank you for the crickets for 2 minutes. I had to laugh at that. I appreciate running that for two and a half minutes over there at Sound Minds at YouTube. And all y'all that do the podcasts, or the precasts, whatever, respread the word, folks. Again, we got to get ourselves activated in the right ways. And there's right ways to do it. And I think it's real efficient, actually, if people don't appreciate that. I'm just advancing that to you as well. I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
foot opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.